The Direct Radio Show continues. I'm John Lobertini, KGO 810.
You went on this show.
You kind of have to keep up with it. It's very intelligent.
It sounds like a scam.
They are not part of the legitimate business world.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
And away we KGO go, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGOradio.com.
Super Tuesday.
Yes, Super Tuesday. It's a big deal. Super Tuesday. Yeah, this year, Super Tuesday will be followed by Holy Shit, Trump Won Everything Wednesday.
And, well,
whoops,
I don't know if that's a laughing matter or not. It depends upon which side of the aisle you fall. Or if you're going down the middle lane and you don't like either. There's a lot of that going on.
Well, you know, history suggests that whoever comes out of Super Tuesday in each party ends up being the nominee, and the two we'll see going at it in November. So
where do we stand? Trump has won six states. Cruz
seven
won
states.
Seven now. States now. Okay.
Seven states now. He was declared a late winner in Vermont, as was Hillary Clinton in Massachusetts. So they both win seven states. Bernie Sanders gets late victories in Colorado and Minnesota to go along with a big victory in his home state of Vermont and Oklahoma. Ted Cruz wins Texas and Oklahoma. Ricky Rubio gets a win in Minnesota. Again, Donald Trump with seven victories in pretty big states.
So if Rubio won one state, well, that's better than third place, where he keeps coming in third place because, you know, the whole thing is like, how many times can you explain how third place is a victory?
It's not. Or as my, right. My daughter would say in soapbox derby racing, second sucks.
Second sucks. Because, to quote Trump, second is the loser.
Yeah, first loser. Isn't that what they call them?
Right.
Well, you know that. What's interesting is that both Cruz and Rubio came into this Super Tuesday election saying that if you can't win your home state now,
right?
Rubio's still a couple of weeks out with the Florida primary. Right. But a lot of discussion that if they didn't show well, and Cruz in particular didn't win Texas, then they needed to bow out of the race. But
right.
Cruz gets a pretty big win in Texas. He wins in Oklahoma. But Cruz wasted no time bashing Donald Trump. Listen.
So long as the field remains divided, Donald Trump's path to the nomination remains more likely. And that would be a disaster for Republicans, for conservatives, and for the nation.
You know, even on the Democratic side, and Hillary Clinton had a big crowd in Little Rock, Arkansas tonight. It was all about the Republican Party. And she, you know, with the help of her crowd there, talked about the divide being created by the Republican Party.
The rhetoric we're hearing on the other side has never been lower. Trying to divide America between us and them is wrong, and we're not going to let it work.
Now, Donald Trump was surprisingly gracious initially.
I thought so, too. I was only in there for the beginning of this, and then I had to go on the air.
And then he took several bites out of Marco Rubio. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, gracious Donald Trump.
I came in second. I came in no worse than second. So it wasn't like I won and then I disappeared. The worst I had was a second. So I'm very, very honored by the turnout.
Now, this was before Rubio was declared the winner in Minnesota. So he gets one primary victory, but Trump was already taking jabs at Rubio.
He hasn't won anything, period. And by the way, and I have to tell you, and he was very, very nasty. I've never heard a person get up and speak on an evening like this and be so nasty, but he's got a right to be nasty. He hasn't won anything, and he's not going to win very much.
Oh, you know what? He has a way of getting under that guy's skin, doesn't he?
Yeah. Is that the whole small hands thing? Because, yeah, let's take a listen to this.
How can a person with the worst spray tan in America... His hands are the size of someone who's 5'2". And you know what they say about men with small hands? You can't trust them.
Yeah. And Cruz would say that's where everything went south for Rubio.
You know, when are we going to talk about Donald Trump's hair? I mean,
and
the spray tan and the bad hair.
On John Boehner on us.
It's not, apparently not a problem.
Apparently it's a Republican thing.
Shave that stuff. I've had more women say, you know what, if you're going bald, forget the comb over, just shave it off. Heather?
Definitely shave it off.
Oh, my goodness.
Is beautiful.
Look, here's the other big thing that we need to talk. Two things. Well, actually, there's a lot of things going on. 808-0810 if you want to comment on what has unfolded in front of us with all regards to Super Tuesday. 808-0810. Governor Rick Scott today from Florida endorsed Donald Trump. Now, that's just huge, and that's a massive, massive blow to Rubio.
Well, you know, I think everybody is starting to figure out who they're going to align themselves with. The polls show Donald Trump up by 20-plus percent in Florida heading into that primary. And, you know, that has been one of the big questions, one of the side stories to all of this, is how are Republican candidates going to handle Donald Trump as the likely Republican nominee? You know, there's been some discussion that the fallout from that could affect Republicans in other races. So I think people are trying to figure out where they stand with Donald Trump. It's clear that Rick Scott has decided that he's better off aligning himself with Donald Trump than not.
And then there's Chris Christie, who is standing behind. And I don't, boy, you'll see memes and GIFs of that all day tomorrow. I'm sure they're already flying around, of him standing behind Trump at the press conference in Florida, like he had, I don't know, some laser beam death knell eyes staring at Donald. It was the strangest thing. It looked like Iron Man to me. I'm not sure what
that was. And what were a couple of East Coast guys doing in Palm Beach, Florida?
Oh, well, Mar-a-Lago, his resort in Palm Beach.
Well, okay.
Yeah. So.
And by the way, Chris Christie, according to John Rothman, is likely in line to be named Attorney General. Should Donald Trump be elected.
Right. But might he be his running mate?
I'm sure that's possible, too.
And by the way, here's something very interesting about Chris Christie. Five newspapers and the people of New Jersey have had enough of Chris Christie running around the country. They're actually calling for a recall for him to give up his governor's seat. It's like, you know what? If you don't want to pay attention to our state, if you want to follow Donald Trump around, fine. Boing. Quit.
Well, two things. It's going to be over soon. So Chris Christie will either move on to Washington with Donald Trump, or he'll go back to being the governor of New Jersey. Recall elections are very, very expensive. And while it's fun to talk about, I doubt it would happen.
I understand. But John Rothman, our political analyst here at KGO, made a great point. And that is good luck running for governor again in your own state of New Jersey, because that's not going to work, because the constituents are not digging him running around with Donald Trump.
You know, I don't know how many terms he's been elected to in New Jersey. Obviously, at least one. But you know, he's gotten the national exposure that he's apparently craved, because there's been a lot of talk about him running for the White House over the past couple of years. And, you know, guys like that crave the national spotlight. He got a taste for it. And who knows what's next for him.
And then the other thing that Mr. Rothman brought up, and I think is very interesting, because I do see it happening. I mean, you know, the GOP is splitting right in half. And there's a lot of hardcore conservatives who don't like Ted Cruz, and they sure as hell are not going to vote for Donald Trump. So a lot of people are saying, who are Republican and conservative, are saying, you know what, I'm just not going to vote.
Well, Ted Cruz is the conservative choice.
That's right.
You know,
but once the primary is passed, you're done. I mean, so then your choice is Hillary or Trump.
Exactly.
So that's why you have a lot of hardcore GOPers who are conservatives or evangelicals saying, you know what, not voting.
You know, I'd be interested to hear what sort of numbers there are on those on that voting block, because I think that the voting population is evolving as the Republican Party gets older. People die off. Young Republicans are coming up, and they're thinking in a more moderate fashion. You know, they're not on board. I mean, think about it. Every year when a Republican candidate hits the streets or moves towards the nomination, it's the same stuff. We're going to overturn Roe v. Wade. We're going to challenge same-sex marriage.
Right.
You know, all of these very parochial positions that don't get rid of Obamacare, that don't seem to fit modern-day America.
No,
but what's driving that is the conservative money, the Koch money, these very, very wealthy conservatives that have been driving politics for decades. And Donald Trump is proving that if you don't have, if you aren't beholden to donors, you can say what you want, run your campaign the way you want. And he's proving that, you know, there is another recipe out there.
Right. And you have people like Jeb Bush still sitting at, well, sitting at home in Florida with his $100 million war chest that belongs to him, by the way. That money belongs to him vis-a-vis the super PACs. It's outrageous. It really is.
Well, they'll just, yeah, the PACs will hang on to that until the next go-around.
Well, no, it's Jeb's money. I mean, it belongs to Jeb. So if he wants to pay taxes on it, I guess he would get $60 million. Or, like I said, you set up a foundation and
yeah, that's more
put
likely.
Yourself in charge.
But again, if the Republicans don't show up at the polls, it's Hillary Clinton by a landslide.
And there you have it. All right, we'll be back with more, and we'll continue. Actually, we'll start the Late Night Late Show wrap-up. Thank you very much to John Libertini from the KGO Newsroom. Next on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show, live and local on the band around the world at KGO.com. Good evening. What a March 1st it is, a super-duper Tuesday. Let's take a look at what has happened in the past. Back in the day, 213 years ago today, in 1803, Ohio. Yes, the state Kasich must win. He didn't win anything tonight. The Buckeye State became the 17th state to enter the Union. 149 years ago today, which is kind of strange, 1803 and then to 1867, Nebraska. The Cornhusker State became the 37th state to enter the Union. 144 years ago today, in 1872, Yellowstone became the first United States' first national park. 84 years ago today, in 1932, the crime of the century. Well, there was that O.J. Simpson thing, but before that, someone crept into the estate of Charles A. Lindbergh. Climbed a homemade ladder and placed a ransom note on the windowsill and kidnapped the Lindbergh baby. And in case you don't know this story, or maybe you do, the $50,000 ransom was paid. Unfortunately, Charles Jr. was not returned, and 73 days later, the remains of the 20-month-old infant were found in the woods near the house, dead of a fractured skull. After a two-year manhunt, police arrested a 35 years old. He was a German immigrant. And he was convicted and executed. The murder trial pretty much rivaled that of the O.J. Simpson trial here in America. And kidnapping would later become a federal crime as a direct result of that case. 55 years ago today on March 1st in 1961, President Kennedy established the Peace Corps. 47 years ago today in 1969, Mickey Mantle announced his retirement from baseball. We're getting closer. We're moving forward here. 38 years ago today, in 1978, Swiss grave robbers stole a coffin containing Charlie Chaplin. The coffin and Charlie were recovered a couple months later in May. I don't know what that was all about. I don't recall ever hearing that story. 31 years ago in 1985, Liza Minnelli entered the Betty Ford Drug Center. Apparently, it didn't work then. But, you know, you get several tries. Well, you get as many tries as you need. That's the way that works. 22 years ago today in 1994, the 36th annual Grammy Awards went down. Whitney Houston won Album of the Year for The Bodyguard and Best Female Pop Performance and Best Record for I Will Always Love You. How about that? 22 years ago today. Okay, we were talking about Prince because tomorrow Ron Owens has tickets for you to see Prince Friday night at the Oracle. So listen tomorrow with Ron Owens, and he will tell you when to call in when you hear it. You just be the correct caller, and you're off to the show. And what a show that's going to be. And I love this old Michael Jackson story. This has been going around for a while, but it's just resurfaced this week. So producer L.A. Reid has this new book coming out where he claims that Michael Jackson really could be cold as ice when he wanted to be. You know, it seems like a very nice guy, very charming, very subtle, withdrawn, extrovert. But anyway, I guess apparently he had another side to him. For instance, he loved watching his rival. I don't know if they were rivals. I guess in Michael's mind they were. Prince. He loved to watch Prince fail. That was a thing. Back in the 90s, Reed and Babyface were working with Michael, and he took them into the screening room. He showed them a video of a 1983 James Brown concert where he and Prince were on stage guests, and Michael danced a few steps, and then Prince tried to perform, but it was a disaster. He couldn't get his, apparently, his guitar to work, and he was, you know, trying microphone tricks and poses that just weren't good, according to Michael Jackson in this story from L.A. Reid, who says, quote, Prince fell flat as he could, and Michael enjoyed laughing at the video. And he played a scene from Prince's movie Under the Cherry Moon, and he apparently played it a lot because he just liked to laugh at it. So there was some haterade. There was some shade thrown back even then. And why not? And why not? Let me see some other showbiz nonsense here. You know, there's this story floating around about Springsteen allegedly had an affair 10 years ago that led to another couple's divorce. Now, the woman's name is Ann Kelly, and Bruce met her in 2005 at a gym they both worked out at in Jersey at Red Bank. Her husband, Arthur, was an investment banker who said in his divorce papers that Bruce and his wife did it, quote, at various times and places too numerous to mention. And he would always stand at the edge of her treadmill and stare. That's the nicest ass in the gym. You gotta love that. Well, he is the boss, you know. Anne was even spotted having lunch with Bruce in New Jersey while Arthur was in Cleveland having open heart surgery. Arthur filed for divorce in 2009, and as part of the settlement, all mention of the alleged affair was taken out of the court records. Bruce denied the affair at the time. And by the way, for the record, he and his wife, Patty, are still together. Believe what you want. You know. Speaking of sex, the Gronk, yes, from the Patriots, who was out here partying during the Super Bowl, having a good old time, hosted a party in Miami the next weekend. Actually, he went over to the Bahamas. And as you might expect, it was a nonstop party because that is the Gronk. I mean, he's the Gronk, just as the boss is the boss. And when they got to the Bahamas, the party spilled onto the beach where the Gronk spun, and I don't know, he was spinning tunes or whatever he does, and offered a couple 10 grand if they'd have sex right there on the beach in front of everybody. From the video that's circulating today online, it appears that they turned him down. But for 10 grand? Would you, could you? And I love this. I wanted to run this by Lisa Durden, but I ran out of time. Meek Mill, and if you don't know who he is, he's a rapper. This is one of these things that in 20 years he's going to say, what the hell was I thinking? So this rapper dude did not spend one of his final nights before house arrest with his main chick, Nicki Minaj, in case you didn't know that either. He spent it with many chicks at a Philly strip club, and he was making it rain. So have you seen this video? I mean, stacks and stacks and stacks of thousands and thousands of dollars. You know how much money he had? They had 75 grand. So they're on the, you know, there's two floors to this club. There's the balcony, and then you're dancing underneath. So, you know, he started making it rain. He threw $75,000 into the crowd. to be young and silly, I guess. It really is going to be one of those things in 20 years. What the hell was I thinking throwing $75,000? I mean, you got to see, you see this video online. It's just amazing. Just stacks and stacks of money. I mean, you know, like 5 feet high. 75 grand at the Philadelphia Premier Gentlemen's Club for Future's after party. Okay, well, I hope they had a good time. All right, more of the Drex Radio Show and the Late Night Late Show wrap-up on the way on KGO 810.
It's a different kind of talk. The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
This is Allison Porter. So bad, she was the star of Curly Sue when she was 10. So now she's 34. Since I left my... This is her blind audition for The Voice. Now, hold on. She's doing Linda Ronstadt here. That's them turning their seats around. They win.
Congratulations.
to say. On The Voice, all four judges turned around. But my question is, well, she was 10 when she was Curly Sue. Now she's 34. What has she been doing for the last 24 years? Why has it taken that long? Because they loved her. And in a big, big kind of way. Who doesn't want her on their side if you watch The Voice? I mean, it's just insane, wasn't that? I mean, I just loved it. Okay, and then let me see here. So, let me see the Curly Sue auditions. And now it's up to her because it premiered again last night. And the judges obviously there's Adam Levine, Blake Shelton, Christina Aguilera, and Pharrell. And let's see what happens.
There is something in every single one of you that I admire and will take with me on this journey. I pick Christina.
Allison is unbelievably talented. There was something about her that really spoke to me.
We have to win this.
She has totally changed my world.
That was unbelievable. We were stunned you picked Christina.
Yes.
I felt it. I felt a connection with her. She's a mom. She has a career.
Are these the babies?
Yes. I love all of the coaches so much, but she had like a spotlight on her the whole time.
All right, your mommy's a big star, guys. So.
There's nobody better than her to kind of mentor me through.
Thank you to everybody that said Christina in the audience.
All right, well, so Curly Sue picked Christina Aguilera, which is interesting because I didn't know that Gwen Stefani stepped down for this season. And then late last week, there were pregnancy rumors. Just rumors, but then you got to think. You know, some website got pictures of Gwen leaving the hospital while clasping her wrist kind of protectively over her stomach with that nervous look on her face, like, yikes. Why are the Paps taking all these pics? Obviously, these photos prove nothing until Gwen and Blake Shelton either break up or they're pushing a stroller. We'll see. I bet that's not going over well in Oklahoma. Speaking of love, Jimmy Kimmel on The Bachelor.
Should you choose to forgo your individual rooms, please use this key to stay as a couple in the fantasy suite.
Oh my God.
What do you think?
I think we should take advantage of this.
What do you think?
I would love nothing more than to spend the night with you. I'm very excited. Should we go?
Love to.
And then he handed each one of them a number like you do when you're waiting in line at a deli. By the way, there's a great moment when Lauren, the last woman there, talked about how private and romantic the fantasy suite was, which, yeah, except for the camera guy and the sound guy and the other guys on the crew, it's about as private as a porno shoot, is really. But let's be honest. And start calling the fantasy suite what it really is, sex tryouts. That's
yes, and it plays to what my mother says. She won't watch it because it's a horror show. Yeah, so all three women chose to go to the horror suite. Not the fantasy suite, it's the horror suite. I mean, what did their parents think? No wonder the only honest thing on this damn show is when they go home to meet the parents because the parents are horrified. Horrified. Because their daughters are whoring it up with some dude from Hollywood. Oh, my God. And then the I love yous fly everywhere. I just, you know. Speaking of mom and dads, this is a great story. Women love a man who loves and honors his mother, right? But when does it go too far? So Bradley Cooper, yes, sexiest man alive, reportedly broke up with his girlfriend. Yes, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. What's her name? Irina Shayk or something like that. Why? Because she didn't get along with mom. Well, that's enough usually. Apparently not if you're going to the horse suite. But in Bradley Cooper's case, Bradley and Irina got together last April and all things, well, they were all rosy and cozy. And around Christmas, they started arguing. And what were they arguing about? Well, the fact that Irina was not getting along with Bradley Cooper's mother. And the fact that Bradley and his mom lived together, that's kind of strange. Why is Bradley Cooper still living with his mother? Oh, my God. Okay, I'm changing my mind about this. You get to change your mind on this show. And the fact that Bradley and his mom lived together probably made things worse. The source says, quote, he is very close to his mom, and the fact that Arena and her mom didn't, you know, get it together here with the relationship thing put pressure on their relationship. So I guess it's over, allegedly, and so the story goes. But if you're Bradley Cooper, why are you living with your mom? Dude, buy your mom a house. He's got to be 30 in his 30s, isn't he? What are you doing living with your mom? And you're dating a supermodel? Jeez. Oh, jeez, Louise. I don't know. If I'm Bradley Cooper, I love my mother very much. And yes, if you don't get along with my mother, then yes, it's a big problem. And things probably will not work out. But in light of the fact that I'm living with my mother, that would probably be cause to at least understand why, you know, my girlfriend is not getting along with my mother, because I'm sure if I was the girlfriend and I really loved Bradley Cooper, well, I would be thinking, she's got to go if this thing's going to work. This house is not big enough, even in Hollywood or Beverly Hills, for two women. George Kennedy passed. Actor George Kennedy, I was a big fan, died Sunday morning of natural causes. He was 91, and by the way, he did win an Oscar playing the chain gang prisoner drag line in the 1967 classic Cool Hand Luke. But you might know him better as Ed Hawken, the cop who fought crime alongside Leslie Nielsen and O.J. Simpson in the Naked Gun movies.
Look at what they did to Dr. Meinheimer. You okay, Dr. Meinheimer? That's okay. Don't try to talk.
Go by the window.
I just can't take this anymore. Garbage like you just makes me sick.
Ed?
Okay? I'm Ed. Just John Q. Public now. It's just you and me. Mono a mono.
Ed?
Teach you to pick on a helpless invalid.
All right, he's had enough. Somebody help the captain. We've got to get to that press club dinner.
This way.
Jesus, guys.
All right, George Kennedy passes at 91. As I said, always a big fan. May he rest in peace. We'll get to the good news on the other side coming up on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Resch, live and local. He's talking about the things you talk about every day. It's the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Okay, so here's the good news. You know, the pisser has been broken in this damn building for over a week now. I'm talking about the men's urinal. So here at Cumulus, we've got how many radio stations do we have? Well, I don't know how many we have today. It changes from day to day. But we've got a number of radio stations. And you would think, I just want to give myself credit. So, Sharon, if you're listening and you keep bitching and moaning about me not being able to hit the spot, look, this is the home of KNBR, the number one sports station in all of San Francisco. You would think that the men who work here would be able to point, aim, and shoot. No, the urinal's been broken for a week. It's just, oh my God, the place should be shut down. Shut down the Cumulus building. It's not sanitary. Tell the people at Subway across the street. They should be warned. You're too close to the Cumulus bathroom. Over here on this side of the street, you might not pass the next inspection.
You've lost your mind.
If you going in there,
I have. It's got one of those. It's got one of those
everywhere.
It's got a yellow sign in front of it and a paper sign behind it.
I understand that. So then
but
you
it's
go.
Not, I don't think it's that hideous. I mean, the guys
hideous.
That don't flush the toilet.
Oh,
that's pretty
God.
Nasty. But
yes, it's everywhere, and I just, you know, I. And by the way, I don't blame just the guy. I'm just kidding about KNBR. It's all the
are
men who work here.
Are you suggesting that sports guys are Neanderthals?
No, I'm suggesting that we all are. But at least they should be able to point, aim, and shoot. They're sports guys.
I don't. Unless,
they should make an athletic event
unless
out of that.
They're shooting bullets. I don't think that's the problem with that urinal.
I think the whole thing is guys who can't do that talk about it on the radio.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
there's no Steph Curry in the building. He's not coming.
Just saying, guys, to all you people who work in this building, thank you very much, because I won't because she'll be disgusted and won't even look at me. Let's take a picture of that mess in there. So I don't want to hear any moaning about me missing. I mean, you know, at
least... does that mean we should watch out for your Twitter account over the next maybe 15, 20 minutes?
Maybe. Hey, at least I have an excuse because it's the middle of the night and I'm asleep. All the men who work in this building, I don't think they have any excuse because I'm sure while they're working here, they're awake. You would hope.
Well, that's debatable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then there's that.
Sleepwalking through your job. That's never happened before.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
All right, couldn't resist.
I know. Well, have fun. Are you going to dream about Donald Trump tonight as your next president?
No.
Oh, okay.
What about the Warriors?
Warriors?
It was 97-97 a minute ago.
Oh, okay. I wasn't watching.
Heading to overtime.
I was trying to avoid the mess in the bathroom. Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Are we ready for the good news? We do have good news. How I go from that to this, I don't know. I'm going to do it anyway. Oh, let me see. So, there's a fifth grader in Peoria.
Yep.
Ring a bell? In Illinois, who's been deaf since birth, and a bunch of classmates have been skipping recess for once a month to take sign language classes. And so here's what happened.
Just like they want to be like me.
It's tough for a kid that has an interpreter following them around all day, you know, especially if the rest of the class can't really communicate.
I wanted to be able to talk to Remy, and I wanted to be able to communicate with him.
I was thrilled that they were interested and that they wanted to learn some sign language and that they were taking some initiative to be able to communicate more effectively with one of their classmates. It's fun to see them just like walk up to him and, you know, say, how are you? You know, how are you today? It's really neat.
It makes me feel like happy.
Wow. So if we could infuse some of that love into the GOP, that would be great after what we saw tonight. Yeah. So they skipped their recess to learn sign language. Okay, before I shut things down and hand things over to John Batchelor, I have some news. Heather's leaving me.
Don't say that.
Heather's leaving me. How could you?
Don't say that on the air.
Chip Franklin, I'm going to piss on your seat. Which chair does he sit on? Okay, just kidding. I love Chip. But Heather's moving to the Chip Franklin show.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are.
I didn't know we were going to do this.
Oh, I didn't know either, but I just decided we should.
You did?
Yeah.
Just now.
No, I did think about it. Oh. Now, I want to thank you very much because you've been a sweetheart. And, you know, I couldn't have got through the year. And, my God, with being in the hospital and almost dying.
A year. Wasn't that amazing when I came over and put stitches in you?
Thank God. And you brought the, the Home Depot stapler.
That's the only thing
that kept intestines from flying all over the room. Yeah, that was a good
thing. You're Humpty Dumpty.
Oh, okay.
Well,
I wish you that.
We're
all
glad
the best.
You're alive.
Love, Chip. Love you. And I thank you very much for your 14 months of service. And, you know.
Has it been that long?
I don't know. It's been at least a year. Time flies when you're having a lot of fun. And I've had a great time. And I appreciate everything that you do for me.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. You know I love you. Yeah. I cry.
So now I need another producer.
Know anyone?
They're already queuing up. Everybody wants your gig, you know.
I heard that.
I don't know if you've heard that or not.
Yeah. I did hear that.
I know. So I got to be careful what I say. But right. We shall see what happens. We'll see what develops. All right, everybody. Have a great night. And say hello to Chip for me.
I will. I'm still in the building. I'll hang around. I'll torture your every waking move and your dreams.
I have no doubt about that. Okay, have a great night, everybody. The John Batchelor Show is next on KGOA 10.
Do you know any songs with a train in them? Well, KGOA 10 is sending you on an Amtrak adventure to the Capitol.